How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
Hello and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm John Corrales. That's Jay King. We are the Reign and Jays talking free agency. I can't even get through the entire list of what's been going on. We're just going to try to rip right through everything that's been happening in the Celtics world. And if you don't believe, if you didn't believe when we told you throughout the season in the past few weeks that free agency was going to be absolutely nuts, Evan Turner goes off and gets 4 years and $70 million from the Portland Trailblazers. Evan Turner is making an average of more than $17 million per year. What?
Yeah, that's a lot of money. That's a lot of money for Evan Turner. And then, I mean, you go around the league, it's like Matthew Dellavedova is now making more money than Isaiah Thomas, which is fantastic. Just hilarious.
You know,
making more money than Jay Crowder and Avery Bradley,
yeah,
and Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk, like everybody basically on the Celtics team.
We should actually just do a podcast that just at some point where it's just us listing the names of everybody that makes more than Isaiah Thomas. And that's it. We'll come on and we won't say anything besides Matthew Dellavedova, Etuan Moore, Mirza Teletovic. Just all in order, alphabetical order. These are all the guys who make more money than Isaiah Thomas, who, by the way, is getting paid less than he was last season and will get another pay cut next season. That's the craziest contract out there. So anyway, sorry. Yeah, ET. Now, it's a crazy cap, and we need to look at things in the percentage-wise that – everything's inflated by 30 to 35% because that's what the cap is right now. It's just gone up by that much. So you knock off that from Evan Turner's contract, and he's getting somewhere, it's the equivalent of somewhere around $12 million or so under the last salary structure, which is still a pretty steep price. I don't think under the last salary structure, I would have paid him more than $8 or $9 million or something like that. And even that, I would have been. So I still think he's like wildly overpaid over there. But what? I mean, wow. And they're going to start him alongside McCollum and Lillard. I just don't get it. Good luck with that, Portland.
Yeah, you know what? Let's instead of thinking about whether he's overpaid and what type of fit he is in Portland, I mean, that guy gave the Celtics two of the most surprisingly entertaining years that have ever happened. Like, when he came to the Celtics, his reputation was shot. Nobody really expected much. Nobody really at that point wanted him. He had completely bombed for the Indiana Pacers after playing inefficient basketball for the Philadelphia 76ers. And he was so much better in Boston than anyone anticipated. He became a much better defender. He hit all sorts of clutch shots. He turned John Corrales from a hater into a believer. I mean, that guy,
he did.
He did it all. And he was the funniest guy in the locker room. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Like that guy is just absolute class act, really funny guy. He deserves to get paid. I'm happy he got paid because he works his butt off. He got himself in good shape. He improved his game. He maximized his talent, and he kind of regained his spot in the league after really bottoming out in Indiana.
Yeah, that needs to be said, that coming out of the Pacers, he was almost out of the league. like really on the verge of becoming one of those, you know, Michael Beasley type of guys who went over to China and just got paid over there and averaged 50 points a game inexplicably against horrible talent and then came back. Like, but I don't want to, I really don't want to make it like I'm crapping all over Evan Turner, because good for him. Good for him for getting paid. I'm never, ever going to begrudge a player for accepting money from a team. If a team wanted to pay him the 5-year max, I mean, if the Celtics had done it, I would have lost my mind, but I'm not going to blame him for it. This is, I would blame Portland for making a mistake, I think, with position and fit. But hey, man, if people want to pay you, go ahead and go get paid. So, and a lot of guys are going to get paid. You know what's funny, though? I don't want to go too off the rails too early, but Evan Turner got 4 years and $70 million. Big reclamation project in Boston, blah, 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 like you just said. Jeff Green only got 1 year with Orlando. 1 year and $15 million. So Jeff Green, for all of his promise and athleticism and all of that stuff, is getting paid less and has a 1 year deal. That is kind of shocking to me.
Well, Jeff Green's not as good at basketball as Evan Turner.
It's just shocking.
As athletic as he is, he just never did figure out how to A, learn how to play basketball, and B, maybe more importantly, how to maximize his effort at all times. If he would just be a hustle guy with his athleticism and size, he could have been a lot better than he is.
He could have been a max contract guy in this market. Who is a max contract guy? I think it's close. Dwight Howard, who signed, committed to the Atlanta Hawks. Heck, you can't sign yet, people, if you don't know. The moratorium is over on July 7th. That's when you can actually sign. But he agreed 3 years, just over $70 million with the Atlanta Hawks. So he gets his contract that averages out to be somewhere in the mid-$20 million range. He gets it for 3 years. Now, first of all, hooray, Atlanta. Thank you for taking that out of the Celtics' realm of possibility. I owe you guys a fruit basket. But now the question is about the guy that we're all waiting for, Al Horford, who is meeting with the Celtics, I think, as we record this at 10 o'clock at night on day one of free agency. It's not even 24 hours old yet. So the question now is, I think you and I agree, but I've seen some disagreements on Twitter. Does this help the Celtics' cause to pry Al Horford away, or does it hurt the Celtics' cause to pry Al Horford away?
I think it has to help, because, look, if you take it in a vacuum, sure, Dwight Howard and Al Horford can play together. Horford, I mean, he's very much a power forward who has been playing center because the NBA has changed. He can shoot out to the three-point arc. He can do a lot of things. He's versatile enough to guard fours. He can play power forward. Where you run into issues is they also have Paul Millsap over in Atlanta. Like, those three, you cannot put those three on the same team and hope to keep all of those guys happy. I just don't see that happening. So either they're intending to trade Millsap and keep Horford, and maybe that's the thing. But to me, you don't sign Dwight Howard if you think Al Horford is coming back. Al Horford, because he's healthier, because you know what you're going to get from a standpoint of being in the locker room and just contributing to overall team happiness rather than ripping teams apart, he's a better value than Dwight Howard. And to me, you only go after Dwight Howard if you think Al Horford has a real chance of leaving. And I think there's a real chance Al Horford leaves. I think there's a real chance he's strongly considering the Celtics. I mean that quickly went from like maybe a long shot possibility to now it feels like it's realistic. And if Danny Ainge sells it well, it might actually happen.
Yeah. I mean, really, as soon as I saw the Dwight Howard signing, I said, oh no, we have a shot here. Now, I've seen some Hawks bloggers say that Horford has been asking for a center, and this is, from their perspective, seen as almost a big commitment to Al Horford by bringing in Dwight Howard as the center. But like you said, they've got Millsap, and Millsap is better right now. It's not like head and shoulders better, but I would stick with Millsap at the four and Dwight at the five, and you just anticipate that Horford is gone. And so now we're in a situation where the Celtics could come out of their meeting tonight with a commitment from Al Horford. That feels like a real thing that could happen.
Yeah, and that would be huge because, first of all, you'd be adding a four-time All-Star, and he would be a major upgrade over both Amir Johnson and Jared Sullinger in the front court. Whoever he replaces, he's just a huge upgrade. He knocks down shots, he defends, he does a little bit of everything that those guys do, except just a little bit better. And then second of all, you know, that pipe dream of Kevin Durant. If you go in there and all of a sudden you have Al Horford, and we're getting ahead of ourselves here. Obviously, it might not happen. Celtics might not sign Al Horford. But by the time we even finish this podcast, they might come out of it and be like, yeah, Al Horford has indicated to the Celtics he's likely to sign with the Houston Rockets or something. But if you do get a commitment from Al Horford, if Danny Ainge goes in there, puts on the full court press, signs him to the dotted line, and you can bring that to Kevin Durant, that's a big deal. And all of a sudden, you go from the 48-win team that's like the plucky first-round contender to you're like 54, 55-win team with all types of assets to make a trade. And if you add Durant on top of that, you're a contender right away. So, yeah, that would be huge to get a commitment right away. And I'm sure that's what Danny Ainge is hoping to do, even though who knows what the possibility is. It seems like there's a chance, but really, who knows?
Yeah, what I'm watching for right now, two things as my Twitter feed continues to scroll out of control. A, do the Celtics somehow emerge from this meeting tonight with a commitment? Is that Woj bomb going to drop, and are we going to have to come out and record another emergency podcast to talk about Al Horford actually signing? That's the first thing. Secondly, beforehand, I'm actually looking to see if Kent Bazemore commits someplace. He's getting pitched by the Rockets, among other teams. If Bazemore, the way I see the Hawks situation is they've got enough money essentially to commit to either Horford or Bazemore. And if Baze gets his commitment in first, so let's just say that right now we get a tweet that says Bazemore to the Rockets, whatever the contract is. Do they turn around and call Horford's agent and say, we're going to do the fifth year, sign with us, and Horford now goes back to Atlanta?
Yeah, and by the way, add Etuan Moore to the list of guards making more money than Isaiah Thomas next year. This is just crazy.
Yeah.
Etuan Moore, Matthew Dellavedova, even Ish Smith is within $500,000,
yeah,
of Isaiah Thomas next
Ish
year.
Smith, Ish savior Smith of the Philadelphia 76ers last year.
Oh, it's a crazy world out there. It is nuts. And I mean, people have to remember, the owners are taking in half the cash. So the owners are making a lot of money too, and the players are benefiting. I mean, yeah. Whoa.
No, this is they basically are at a 50-50 split. So the players, the salary cap for the players this year is $94 million, which means $94 million is also going to the owners. So they can sit there and talk about their spending money. But yeah, you're spending half of your $186 million. You get to keep the other half. So no one's crying for the owners, really. So, and that's one guy or a team of like four or five guys. It's like not like 12 guys or 15 guys or however many you get when you ultimately dole out the 10 days later. So, you know, whatever. But yeah, where was Ish Smith before he was signed last year? Was he off in Europe somewhere? Is that right?
No, he was on the Pelicans.
Okay, right. But he was still like, so he's wandering around though. He wasn't like, he was just kind of wandering around and they said, yeah, we need a guy. So bottom line is, he's making what Isaiah Thomas made, the guy who's busted his butt, worked his way up to first-time All-Star, and now Ish Smith is walking in getting Isaiah Thomas money. So,
It's crazy. There are guys who may not be in the rotation for their next team who are going to be making more money than an All-Star point guard. Nuts.
Unreal. So, anyway, I'm watching for that Bazemore thing. I think it's going to be either or. I'm afraid it's going to be either or. So if I see a Bazemore commitment before Al Horford commits to anybody, then I'm just kind of getting a little bit worried.
Yeah. I got a question for you. What do you think about Jay Crowder reportedly being part of the group that is in the meeting with Horford and then will be in the meeting with Durant tomorrow?
I love it. As long as they don't play beach volleyball, like we said in the last show, or anything competitive that it's going to force him to break somebody in half. I love it.
He may just threaten Horford, like just shove him against the wall.
Maybe they do like a little Suge Knight thing where Crowder holds him over the balcony by his legs and until he commits. Look, man, it's a crazy world out there. I don't want to know how they make the sausage. I just want to get the guy on our team. So whatever Jay's got to do is what Jay's got to do.
Yeah. I mean, just sick him in there. Just tell. I mean, Kevin Durant, Horford's a big guy. Kevin Durant, real thin. You know, Jay Crowder can probably force him to sign a contract if he really wanted
to. Like I said, I think that's wrong. Wink, wink. He shouldn't do that. Wink, wink. I love that Jay Crowder's there. I love that these intense guys are there because that passion is going to be so great for those guys to see. Here's Crowder who went from out of the rotation, part of the buried on the bench in Dallas, to key player, untradeable in Boston, fan favorite Isaiah Thomas, bouncing around. Sacramento, Phoenix, now in Boston, now all of a sudden he's an All-Star. Now everybody loves him. Is there anybody more committed to being a Boston Celtic than Isaiah Thomas is right now? That guy is basically one step away from putting on the Lucky costume and just walking around the city. That's how much he wants to be a Celtic. So those guys going into the meeting, kind of giving that perspective from the outside, saying, when I was in Dallas, I thought this, but man, this is how it really is. When I was in Phoenix and Sacramento, I thought this, but you don't even know what it's like to be part of that team and run out from the home tunnel. You just don't get it. And look, I wouldn't be surprised if those guys, if Danny and Brad and everybody go in with like a little presentation of Paul Pierce's return after he left, Kevin Garnett's return after he left, Rondo's return after he left, and say, this is how we treat our guys. Even after you leave, you're with us forever. So we can appreciate your loyalty and your desire to be loyal to your team. That's fine. However, if you should choose to make a change based on your personal reasons, you're walking into a family situation. And you think you're in a family situation now, and you may well be, but you don't know what it's really like to go into this practice facility and have John Havlicek walking around, or have Bob Cousy kind of pop in, or Tommy Heinsohn kind of pop in, or any one of these legends, guys whose numbers are retired, just kind of walking around. So I think they can make a really strong pitch, and that perspective from guys who came here from other teams is going to be especially important for KD.
Yeah. I mean, We'll see. I still think the sustainable success thing is their best pitch, that they have a young roster, that they have assets to either take young talent in the draft or move those for trade options. They're going to have options to upgrade their roster. Even if they get Horford, even if they get Durant, they will still have a lot of opportunities to target stars on the trade market. And that's a big deal. When you can get, you know, if you had three all-stars, plus Jay Crowder, plus Avery Bradley, plus Marcus Smart, plus Jaylen Brown, the number three overall pick. And then on top of that, you've got trade assets and draft picks and opportunities to make this team, take this team to the next level. That's a big deal. And that's how I would pitch Durant. And then have Jay Crowder shove him up against the wall.
Did you hear what they just said? Sign the damn deal.
Yeah, when Durant signs for like the mid level, you'll know it was Crowder.
I would love it. Again, that's wrong. You shouldn't do that. But you're right. This is something that it's going to be a very complicated pitch. And I know that according to Broussard, that the Clippers blew away Durant with their presentation. I wonder how many Clippers gave him that quote-unquote sourced information. But I think the Celtics have a pretty strong pitch from all perspectives. Money-wise, they got the money. If they have Horford in their pocket when they walk in there tomorrow, man, that's going to be so great. But they have culture, family, history. They have basketball on the floor, X's and O's with Brad Stevens. They have ownership willing to spend the money. They've got Danny Ainge willing to make the moves. The only thing that's holding them back is the actual roster as it's currently constituted to say,
play. Just players on their team. Right. That's the only thing holding them back.
But they have good players, obviously. You know what I'm saying. What they don't have is what Golden State has or what San Antonio has or what even the Clippers have, even if they have to trade away Blake Griffin to make it happen. They don't have that level of talent that lets them say, we're going to plug you in and we're an instant title contender. They do need to have that one extra.
They don't have that. I mean, like the Warriors brought Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and Andre Iguodala to the meeting. And the Celtics are bringing Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder. And all due respect to Thomas and Crowder, it doesn't hold the same weight when you have those four guys from Golden State sitting across the table from you versus those two guys from Boston. And it just doesn't. So the Celtics are going to have to pitch the hell out of him in other ways and really impress him in other ways. Because right now, you know, in the immediate, you know, next season, they don't have the same type of team those other teams will have. And they could very well contend if they get Horford and Durant, which is still a pipe dream, guys. We don't want to talk like this is a realistic possibility. I don't think Durant especially is realistic. It does seem like Horford might be. But, yeah, they just don't have those real stars. Even Isaiah Thomas, even Al Horford, those guys aren't top stars like Russell Westbrook, like Stephen Curry, like Blake Griffin, like Kawhi Leonard that you compare Durant with and that he'll have options to play with. So there's definitely it's a tough climb for the Celtics when they sit down next to Durant tomorrow in the Hamptons.
Yeah. No, it's true. But like I wish I could remember who tweeted this. But it's basically they said free agency is such a great time of year and the draft because we can basically talk ourselves into anything. We can make a solid argument. I can sit here right now and I think my argument is pretty solid that we can make this pitch and have it be heard. But obviously I'm coming at it from a certain perspective. But still, I stand by it. And I do think that the Dwight Howard thing is really going to push Al Horford closer to leaving more than keep him closer to staying in Atlanta. So this is it. This is a strike while the iron is hot. So I think Danny pays max money And look, in this climate, when when Joakim Noah and Timofey Mozgov are getting four-year deals at, what did they get, $70 million or so like that? No. God, these numbers are all running together. But they got long-term big money deals. To give Al Horford a long-term max money deal, I think that's okay. Mozgov got 4 years, $64 million. If he can get 4 years, $64 million, then I'm giving Horford the max. Whatever it is, I'm giving it to him.
He might be worth like $300 million if Mozgov's worth that.
Yeah. I mean, really. I mean, come on. And again, it's the years. How do you get 4 years for him? 4 years for Joakim Noah?
Yeah, I mean, Joakim Noah looked completely washed up, and now he's got 4 years at $18 million a year. It's nuts.
I mean, that guy's making Evan Turner money now.
Yeah, he doesn't deserve Evan Turner money.
I'm really gonna love using the term Evan Turner money for a little while. I'm really gonna beat that one to death.
I mean, Turner's making more than Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder combined next year.
You think he's texting them right now with that report? How much you guys make again?
Yeah.
I would.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw it. Jared Sullinger tweeted out like okay, E.T. Like,
when Portland visits Boston next season, dinner's on Evan Turner.
By the way, Sullinger has to be looking at the contracts going out. And salivating,
yeah.
Right?
He had
a better season than Noah. He had a better season than Mozgov. And he's younger. And sure, he's got injury issues, but so do those guys. So
let's talk about this.
How much money is Jared Sullinger going to get?
Let's talk about this for a second. We haven't heard a peep about those guys. Not one thing. No one has gone to those guys in restricted free agency yet. We haven't heard any reports that anybody's talking to them. But here they are. Tyler Zeller and Jared Sullinger, and we were talking about them getting $10 million a year, and people were like, nah, no way. Jared Dudley just got $10 million a year. 3 years, $30 million. Mirza Teletovic, who I wanted, 3 years, $30 million. That would have been a good signing. That would have been
Mirza
a good signing.
Mirza is your boy. You love Mirza, man. How about the Luol Deng rumor? What did you think about that?
Well, I don't know. I don't put. It's interesting. It's really interesting. I mean, he's kind of getting close to his expiration date, I would say. So, I don't know. I didn't see any numbers or anything like that. I just saw interest. So, did you see numbers?
No, I would suspect it would be like short term, maybe overpay him in the short term. Because, I mean, he's 31. He's played a ton of minutes thanks to Tom Thibodeau. And he's had some injury stuff in the past. But, I mean, if you put him and Crowder out there, obviously this is if you whiff on Kevin Durant.
Right.
But if you put him and Crowder out there, the small ball possibilities are really fun.
Yeah. And, I mean, if you're talking, what, like a two-year deal? I think he'd probably want three. If these other guys are getting three-year deals, Etuan Moore is getting 4 years. I'm sure a guy like Luol Deng, you know, past 30 years old, would want 3 years at least. I don't know if I want to commit to 3 years for him. I guess you'd have to whiff on Horford and Durant, and you'd have to fill out your roster somehow, unless there's a team option. I don't think he would agree to the type of deal that would be palatable. But, look, the Celtics are interested in everybody. I think that is kind of good. And they have to kind of work on a plan B, because we said Horford seems likely, but we kind of feel that way. You go to other people with a different perspective, they might not feel so positive about it. Kevin Durant is, as much as we can talk ourselves into it, still feels like he's going to be going back to OKC. So at least for next year. So they need to get up to that salary floor. They need to have an $84 million salary somehow. So, yeah, I guess I'm not really I'm not really enthused by the pursuit of Luol Deng, but I get it. I get it. It'd be okay if the contract, if the years were right.
Yeah, I think that would be the thing. If you whiff and can still maintain future flexibility, whether it's because the contract is very tradable or because it's a short-term deal, then yeah, sure. He would help the team. He's a really good 3-4 type who defends, does a lot of things on the court, and would really bolster, I think, their defense especially, and allow them to have that small ball. I mean, last year they couldn't play small ball as much as they wanted to, I think. And obviously Stevens likes small ball, and he likes switching lineups. He likes lineups with a lot of skill on the court, and Luol Deng helps you be able to do that. So yeah, I mean, it's intriguing if they whiff on obviously Durant.
Yeah, it's intriguing. That's the best way to put it. There are going to be a lot of guys that are intriguing, and we'll see how they do it. We'll see how it all works out. And again, next year the cap goes up again. We're looking at $110 million or so for a cap next year. So even some of these deals, you know, $10 million for Jared Dudley in an age where $114 million will be your salary cap, that's nothing. That's nothing. That's basically this year's version or last year's version of a mid-level contract. So got to keep that in mind moving forward. The numbers are insane in the fact that guys like Evan Turner are getting paid $17+ million a year. That number is monstrous and mind-blowing. But in 2 years, it's not going to be as bad as it seems right now, especially as we get used to it. So, yeah, I think with the new landscape, I can be talked into a guy like Luol Deng a little more easily than I'm still trying to get my brain out of that old thinking. You know what I mean? Like, it's just tough to kind of get into this new, God, there's so much money out there and the cap is so high and you can do this without really screwing yourself. So, yeah.
If they whiff on Durant and Horford and then sign Deng, chances are Luol Deng would be the highest paid player on the Celtics.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. There's no doubt.
Yeah. Basically, whoever signs this year is going to be the highest paid player on the Celtics.
Right. I mean, even if Amir Johnson comes back at $12 million, there's Luol Deng will make at least $12 million. At least. So, man, you look at this roster, there's no one making more than $10 million other than Amir Johnson, and he's not even guaranteed to come back. So there are a lot of bargains on this roster. So it's going to be interesting to see. Going back to Sullinger and Zeller, what do you think those guys can actually get? Having seen day one of all of this money being thrown around, how much money do you think Jared Sullinger can get if Timofey Mozgov is going out there and getting what he got?
I think part of it depends on whether they stay restricted or not. Obviously, teams like you don't usually get as much money. Maybe you don't have as much of a market when you're a restricted free agent, just because teams think it's more of a risk that they're probably not going to be able to lure you away. But if the Celtics renounce those rights and all of a sudden they're unrestricted free agents and there's still money to go around, Hawks have reached a deal with Kent Bazemore, 4 years, $70 million.
Whoa,
so
that is
according
big.
To Brian Windhorst. There you go.
There's the
there
news.
You go.
That's what I was waiting yep. for. That means Horford is gone. That tells me Horford is gone. That is huge. And now we're going to take a break from our podcast to tweet about this. Because
yeah.
this
wow.
is huge.
Wow, Horford's a goner. Horford's gone, guys. That's it. Probably to Boston. Maybe to Houston. Who knows? Maybe somewhere else that we don't even know.
This is crazy. Okay. I need a second here to really catch my breath, because now we're all tweeting the same thing. Zach Lowe, I just saw your tweet. I see Hyken's tweet. I see everybody, man. Horford is gone. Wow. So yeah. Now, right now, let's compose ourselves. The Atlanta Hawks are clearly moving on from Al Horford, and Al Horford is currently probably sitting down with the Boston Celtics, and I'm sure that somebody has just informed Al Horford, hey, they brought Bays back. They can't even pay you anymore.
Or Horford informed them, sorry, guys, I'm outie. And who knows?
And then, yeah, in this tweet, Celtics reportedly plan to offer Al Horford a max contract, hope to bring him to Kevin Durant meeting. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Now, when we said Horford in their pocket, I was speaking figuratively. They may literally take Horford and bring him to the Hamptons tomorrow.
Yeah.
Wow. Can you imagine?
That would be huge.
This is us talking each other into things. This is talking ourselves into things. But that would be a monster thing. That would be a monster development to have someone camped out on the Hamptons, kind of watching the Celtics roll up wherever they come in, and seeing Al Horford get out of the big SUV. Oh, man. Wow. Okay. So that's happening.
Yep. Now all they need to do is have Jay Crowder beat up Al Horford and make him sign, man. That's it.
Might not even have to beat him up.
That's all they need to do.
Just might even have to.
Yeah.
Now I just might have to be a dirty look. Like a little
glare. Let Crowder rest up for the Durant meeting.
Yeah, yeah. Could you see Crowder pacing on the outside of whatever room they're meeting in and have Ainge open the door a sliver and go, just shake his head. Crowder just walks off. Don't need you, buddy. Go rest up. Tomorrow's a big day.
So we are living in a world right now where the Celtics might sign one of the top two or three free agents on the market and completely obliterate that stupid narrative about them never signing a top free agent.
I hate that so much. Sorry.
Yeah, I figure that might rile you up a little bit. Go ahead. Let's hear the rant.
Okay, so this is the first time the Celtics have actually been in a position to sign a big free agent. Back in the day when free agency started, the Celtics were really good. You might remember the 80s, the Boston Celtics of the 80s. They were okay. You didn't need big-name free agents. And then in the 90s, when they had a little bit of money, they also had Rick frickin' Pitino running the show. And they screwed that all up. Team was terrible, wasted money. No one wanted to be a part of this situation, just like no one wants to be part of the Lakers situation right now. DeMar DeRozan, L.A. guy, idolized Kobe growing up. Didn't even give them a meeting because the Lakers are a mess and no one wants to go to a situation like that if they don't have to. And that's what the Celtics were in the 90s. Then they started to pay out a little bit more money and they started trading for guys again. And now here they are finally in the best of situations. Great coach, money to spend, up and coming team. Finally, what do you know? Free agents are starting to think about coming to Boston. So screw that narrative. I think it's been crap the whole time. And I've been saying all along that this year, guys are going to start considering Boston. What do you know? They are.
Al Horford held four meetings today, including Houston and Washington, and plans to make a decision over the weekend, according to Adrian Wojnarowski.
That decision will come right before the meeting that he walks into with Kevin Durant.
Yeah, so it looks like they did not sign him tonight. So if that was the dream, it didn't happen. But he is still on the board. I'm confident.
I'm feeling good.
The Celtics are probably the best situation. I mean, based on how you or I look at things, the Celtics are probably the best situation, right? With Houston, Washington, and then some other mystery team. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, the Thunder probably. I mean, the Thunder.
Yeah, maybe the Thunder.
The Thunder are trying to get him, too. I mean, if Durant stays in OKC and they can free up the space to bring Horford in, then that would be a good situation for him, too. But that's not going to happen because he's going to Boston. That's it. He's going to Boston. So
yeah, maybe.
That's it.
Maybe. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, yeah. Yeah, this could be the guy who finally wipes away John's favorite free agent narrative.
Just makes my blood boil. Let's just take a breath here. We're gonna wrap this up. It's been a crazy day. A lot of good things have just happened. We feel real good about this. It seems like it might be safe to go to sleep. So why don't I just put this out there? People can listen to it right now. We'll just chop it up a little bit and edit it and post it. And if Al Horford decides in at 3 a.m. that he wants to do something and one of us is still awake, we'll just do another one.
Yep. Boom.
Why not?
Boom. That's how it goes,
because
baby.
That's how we roll. Podcasting on the daily in free agency. That's the Locked On Celtics podcast. That's how we do it.
What he said. I can't say it better than that.
This reminder to subscribe to us wherever it is that you listen to your podcasts on iTunes. Rate us 5 stars, of course. And why 5 stars? Because you can't give us 6. That's why. It's the old Antoine Walker. Because there are no 4s. That's why you shoot 3s. So rate us, subscribe, tell your friends, tell your parents, tell random people on the street about the show. They probably want to know about it. And we will catch up with you next time in this crazy free agency world. This is the Locked On Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.